People sometimes ask me if I became the Ron Van Dam Show announcer because I love what Ron does and I love his comedy. Well, no. It's because Ron broke me out of a Tijuana prison back in 82 and smuggled me across the border in a suitcase in the trunk of a Yugo. And I still owe him for that. Muchas gracias, mi amigo. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Fine.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. I am Ron Van Dam. Oh, yes, I am. Don't argue with me. Are you ready? No? Okay. Are you ready now? All right, fine. That's better. Program. I don't know how to thank you for showing up today, so I won't. All right, fine. I have a great guest coming up later on in the program. David Ignatius joins us. If you follow politics and that kind of thing, David Ignatius is very, very popular. He's on all the morning talk shows talking about the news, the administration, the country, politics, you name it. He's been a reporter for many, many years, is now written a book. It's actually a fictional piece, but it's got overtones of all the social weirdness that's going on in the world. David is the author of The Paladin, and we're going to speak to him today on the program. Okay? What do you mean, no? No, you can't talk back to me. You don't understand. This is a thing. It's a podcast radio thing. So you can't talk back. You can't talk back. I can't hear you. God, you don't even understand how this works, do you? It is the summer. It's driving me nuts. Happy Wednesday to you, by the way. It's the middle of the week. They call it hump day. And at first I took that wrong and I was... had a lot of restraining orders against me sexually, so hump day is not that. It is the middle of the week. I don't know what the middle of the week is anymore because I don't know where it begins, where it ends. It's all the same. There is no middle. It's an endless circle of crap. Oh, man. Oh, my goodness. There you have it, Wednesday, so whatever. Anyway, it's the summer, and it's awful because it's too hot. I can't escape the heat. I've talked about this every day because it bothers me so much. A lot of people turn to the water in order to get through the summer. I never really understood that. It's not because of my heritage. It's that I don't enjoy the water because there's the possibility of drowning in it, and that opens up all kinds of problems. I can't, water sport, you know, here's the water, and for you to touch the ground in the ocean, it's about 7 miles down. Drowning is not a fun thing. You can even drown in a swimming pool, but at least you can touch the bottom at some point. But people who like to go whitewater rafting, the hell is that? Why? Most people have trouble just walking on the ground, much less sitting in a boat and being tossed around by raging rapids. I've never understood canoes and kayaks. It's like they're constructed so that they can tip over at any moment, in which case you're now trapped inside an upside-down kayak with no way to breathe and no way to escape. Fun. That's fun. That's fun. I've never gotten into it. I had some friends at one point. That's the end of the sentence. I had some friends at one point who liked to go up to Maine to do whitewater rafting, and my immediate response to them was, why? What's the point? To put your lives in danger on sharp rocks in raging waters? And they said, yes, that's pretty much it. They said that it gives them adrenaline. So, well, you must have to pee constantly then. Why do you need to excite yourself to the point of near death and danger? Well, I find that exciting, Ron. Don't you find near death and putting yourself in danger exciting? Exciting wouldn't be the word that I would use. How about exhilarating? No, definitely not exhilarating. Scary as hell, I think that's a phrase. It's not a word, it's a phrase. But they love it. They go camping and they camp on the side of the river. Yeah. They have places to live, don't get me wrong. They actually have places to live with air conditioning and refrigerators, and they can do the laundry if they want. They can watch TV, but they choose not to do that. They choose to sit on their asses on the side of a river and just sit there and drink beer and throw rocks into the water. And I said, I don't understand your lifestyle. You see, cavemen and cave women, to be fair, used to live in a cave and just sit there all day looking at each other. Sometimes they'd scribble something on the cave walls, and that was pretty much their entire lives. I don't think they lived that long. I think they lived maybe like 6 weeks, like a common housefly. But now we have all this technology and this stuff to make us comfortable, and you choose to throw it away and to sit on the side of a river. And then to kick up your adrenaline, you sit in a boat that definitely can tip over because of the white raging rapids. Hello. I mean, you're not a salmon, you know, you're a human being. I don't see any gills on you. I don't see any fins. So I don't understand what your affinity to living in the water when you weren't designed for that. As a matter of fact, if you go under the water, you can't breathe and you die. Exhilarating, isn't it? But this is what people choose to do. They choose to go camping. And I say, look, why do you go camping? Why do you deprive yourself? Is this some type of a religious cult thing? I deprive myself of everything good, and I guess I'm punishing myself is what I'm doing. It's Lent. I've given up conveniences for Lent. By the way, I lent you that power saw last week. Is it still in your garage? No, that's a different Lent. It's a different Lent. Isn't that the stuff that's in your dryer that collects in that little screen thing? No, that's lint. That's lint. By the way, why do they call the stuff that congregates in your belly button? Why do they call that lint? What is that? Who came up with that? Probably somebody sitting on the side of a river on their ass, and they had nothing else to do. And they said, well, what do you call the stuff in my belly button? Well, it's actually crust. No, it's lint, like in a dryer. No, it's not. I don't care. I'm sitting on the side of a river. I'll make up anything I want. Don't even get me started with campfires. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's another fun thing. Sit in the middle of the woods with a lot of people that you don't know who have the ability to touch you inappropriately. And let's roast some marshmallows on the end of a dirty stick and get some carbon buildup on the marshmallows, on the sugar, and then stick it in our mouths, burn your tongue, and put it on a piece of chocolate and a wafer. Wow, you're really stretching the imagination of having fun. Did you read that there are lawsuits against the Boy Scouts of America now, saying that if you were accosted sexually by a Boy Scout or a Boy Scout leader, I think it's the leader they're talking about, that you can sue now, no matter how many years ago that was. It could have been 60, 70 years ago, but there's no statute of limitations. It's hard to say limitations for me. You can sue, and the Boy Scouts of America are putting together up to several billion dollars as payoffs. I don't think it's hush money. but it's payoffs for what you may have went through if you were accosted by a Boy Scout leader. Is there still no sanctity? Because I got to tell you something. I suspected when I was even a kid that the Boy Scout leaders were a little bit extreme from time to time. If you're going to spend all your time in the woods sitting around a campfire with young boys, you probably, it leaves an open door policy of wrongness is what happens. Yeah, we didn't see anything wrong with that when we were growing up. No, a grown man sitting around a campfire with young boys, I don't see a problem with that. So, God, did you see a problem with Michael Jackson and his little fantasy land thing? I didn't see that coming. Well, then you weren't looking, I guess, because that's ridiculous. I don't know. I'm not an outdoors guy. I'm an indoors guy. There's stuff outdoors. There's all kinds of things outdoors. There's bugs and there's other people. There's humidity. That's all outdoors. Everything indoors is humidity controlled, temperature controlled. I got a lot of my stuff around me. Got TVs and radios and books and all kinds of strange little sexual fantasy toys. No, I don't have that. I'm kidding. Some of you do. I don't. I do the real thing. I don't know what you do. That's not the point. Oh, God, I forgot. I forgot again. Oh, at the top of the show, I'm supposed to tell you to get the kids out of the room. This isn't a show for them because I may say something that might be a little inquisitive to the children. I've already been through the Boy Scout routine. I should have said something then. All right, it's never too late. Never too late. Get the kids out of the room. Give them a piece of candy and tell them to go eat it somewhere because I won't be that long. We're like almost halfway through the show, so this won't go on forever, believe me. It's not possible. Yeah, get them out of the room. I'll wait. Go on, please. Get them out. Get them out. Seriously, I'm sick of looking at them. Get them out of here. Get them out of here. Why do we have children anyway? What is the point of that? Wow, just to take away from them all. No, I guess that's what you're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what all animals do. They have children. I don't know. There should be some kind of lawsuit about that, huh? If you had a child and they drove you crazy, we've put aside billions of dollars. You can sue your children now for making your life a living hell. Yeah. You know, all the foundations have been taken away with that Boy Scout, you know, sue the Boy Scout of America, for, you know, sexual improprieties. The Boy Scouts were the foundation of growing up for many, many children, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts. I don't know, man. And now the floor is coming out from under there. That a lot of young kids were sexually assaulted by scout leaders. Seriously? I didn't know that was possible. Because they wear the yellow scarves along, you know, outside of the blue shirts. That's a sign of trust. And they had the Boy Scout thing. They raised two fingers or, I don't know, maybe one finger. And they had a Boy Scout thing that they rambled off. It was like, yeah, it was like going into court and swearing on the Bible. You know, we promise to be true and we promise to, be nice and help our mothers, you know, do the dishes, all that stuff. And then remember the Catholic Church thing where a lot of the priests were sexually getting involved with the choir boys? What? You people are supposed to be like working for God. You know, you get the paychecks and you're supposed to be married to God and this is what you're doing on the side?
Well, you know, we only work on Sundays and Saturdays. I mean, seriously, what else are we going to do?
No, you can't do that. The foundation, the rug swept out from under us. All the things that we considered to be safe and foundational were removed with these scandals. And they weren't just accusations. They were true in many, many regards. They used to shuffle around priests like a deck of cards.
Yeah, we learned that the priest in this town accosted the choir boys, you know what I'm saying? Accosted, you know what I'm saying?
Well, what should we do? Should we arrest the priest? Should we bring him to trial?
Nah, just shuffle him to another town where they don't know the guy's deal yet.
Well, aren't you supposed to shield the public from people like that?
Nah, we just shuffle him around. We don't prosecute him. We just move him somewhere else.
Well, is that a good idea?
No, probably not, but we can't let people know what's going on.
And it's not all priests, and it's not all Boy Scout leaders.
But enough of them to make it really bad.
Yeah, you know what the lesson was in that? No matter what the profession, no matter what the religious belief or the little sayings, pledges that you do, no matter what they are, there's bad of everything. Why, even presidents, there's like totally rotten, devil, antichrist kind of presidents. You're kidding me. When would that ever happen?
Oh, I don't know, like maybe now.
Yeah, yeah. There's people that are that screwed up.
Well, how do they get into power? How do they become priests and how do they become scout leaders? How do they become president?
Cuz you're stupid. You got to open your eyes, man.
But these were children. These were children. They didn't know any better, and the parents didn't know. They thought they were getting rid of the kids for a few hours. They didn't know.
All right. I think I've wet your willy enough. What's the phrase? I've wet your whistle, your willy. One of those phrases were wrong. I think it's the willy one.
You know what I'm going to do later on? I think now that they've opened up the IKEA stores again, I think I'm going to walk into the store and get lost for a few hours. I'm scared of going to that IKEA store. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's a furniture store where you can't buy anything that you don't have to assemble first. It's a gigantic store, and I have lost people in there permanently.
Hey, Bob, you want to go down to the IKEA store?
Bob?
I've lost Bob.
They actually have a missing person posters at the entrance to the IKEA store. All the people that go in there and then never come out. I don't know if they're swallowed by IKEA monsters. I think it's more that they just get lost in the store and they just wander the hallways forever. Even when they close the store down, there are people wandering inside the store trying to figure out how to get out. It's like a psychological maze. I'm scared to go in that store. There's no way out, and they don't want you to get out. You can't get out of the IKEA store unless you've bought something or had a few Swedish meatballs. What an incredible marketing scheme that is for the IKEA stores. They have a little cafeteria in it, and their prized dish is their Swedish meatballs. Who knew? Who knew? What an incredible marketing scheme. Imagine the board of directors at IKEA sitting around a board table. What are we going to do for marketing? Should we have a sale on the furniture? No, that's stupid. Should we give them hot dogs? Well, it works for other people, but no, I don't think so. What would bring people into a store more than anything else?
Swedish meatballs, that's what it is, yes.
How about Italian meatballs?
No. No, Swedish ones. The Swedish meatballs.
Oh, that's a great idea, Bob.
Yes. Swedish meatballs. They'll be lined up around the block.
I don't know. I
I would have never came up with that one, to be honest with you. I guess I'm not that good at marketing. I would have never pulled the Swedish meatball card. I would not have done it. All right, fine. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, David Ignatius is going to join us. That should be pretty cool. He's got a new book out. He's an incredible guy. He really, really is. So we're going to do that right after this word.
Do you throw boring parties? Do your guests stand about with tepid drinks in their hands, vapidly striving for anything interesting to say to anyone? Do they glance at their watches around 9 p.m. and say, "Oh, look at the time"? Your parties need something, and you know it. Your parties need me, Thompson St. Thomas Fancy Bastard. For a gentlemanly, prearranged fee, I will arrive fashionably late to your party, bringing with me that dash of irresistible British charm and a soupçon of the joie de vivre of the French. Soon I'll have your guests regaled with stories of my vacation villa in Saint-Tropez, my zany youthful adventures in boys' school, and that one time I met the prince. Quite a story. For an extra fee, I could be the cheeky one, telling blue jokes and winking roguishly at all the girls. Got a piano? I've got a repertoire. Because what English gent can't just sit down at the Ivories and knock out everything from a raucous pub tune to a bit of Gershwin? I know I can. Because I'm Thompson St. Thomas, Fancy Bastard. And I'll see you at your next party. What time shall I arrive?
David Ignatius joins us now. He's the author of The Paladin, and it's a fascinating thriller. David, if you probably don't know, is all over the place. You've probably seen him. He works with a lot of the broadcast stations as an expert. He's a prize-winning columnist for the Washington Post. He's covered just about all parts of the world, and especially various administrations that need to be clarified. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Ron. It's nice to be with you.
My immediate question is, how do you ever have time to write a thriller?
That's been a little bit of an issue with my wife and three daughters. But, it's kind of my hobby. I enjoy writing. Thank goodness I don't have a case of writer's block.
I guess you don't. This is his 10th CIA thriller. And it's interesting because we know what you do professionally and all your appearances, and it seems to me like you take real life and you put it into a situation. Well, what if we put that in a thriller mode, and there you have a book, because you've been surrounded by government thrillers for quite some time.
I've been watching the CIA covering the Middle East for part of the last 45 years, mm-hmm. and I do see things that I want to describe in more detail, mm-hmm. more complexity. My new book is an example of that. The Paladin is about the world that we're living in, where information is so easily manipulated, where we can't be sure when we see a piece of news whether it's been manipulated, mm-hmm. It's part of a deception campaign. And my hero in this book walks into the middle of that. Walks into a nightmare situation. He's a CIA officer himself. He's asked to penetrate a group that's creating essentially fake events, video and sound that look just like reality. And he, in the process, is taken down by that, hung out to dry. It's sort of the way I think a lot of us feel wandering in this information landscape where we just don't know what's real.
Sounds like a documentary of what's actually going on with this administration, but that's besides the point, or maybe it's not.
It's what we're all, I think every American, wherever you are on the political spectrum, just feels this sense of mistrust and know what's true and what isn't, and that's the landscape that this book is set in.
Yeah. What scares me more is the people that trust that that's real. That's what scares me. And everybody else. This book, does it make us feel more knowledgeable about things that are going on, or does it tend to scare us a little bit?
Well, I think some of both. The more knowledgeable you get about how the world is working, the more concerned and frightened people should be about these tools of manipulation. I explained the technologies that my hero, Michael Dunn, is chasing when he's assigned to penetrate a supposedly journalistic organization in Europe. They're using the most modern technology to create images that look exactly like real images. Sound, voice, body movement. These things can all be done now in a computer. They're called deep fakes, and they're one of the scariest things that computer science has come up with. And I hate to say it, but these are now beginning to make their way into real life. So I want people to understand them, know what's coming at them. It won't make us any less frightened, but it may make us smarter.
With the upcoming election, you don't know if that's going to be starting to be used as actual guns to win an election. I fear that it could.
Well, we don't know. I mean, imagine if last time, Ron, when the Hollywood Access tape surfaced late in the campaign, Donald Trump had said, "That's a fake. I was manufactured in the computer. It never happened."
Right.
Well, these days, as we know more about this technology, a lot of people would have believed him. And so I think one of the dangers is that, you know, false information will be injected into campaigns. Another danger is that people won't believe true information.
Yeah. Your lead character is Michael Dunn, I understand, in the book.
Michael Dunn is from a part of the world that fascinates me. He's from a mill town in Pennsylvania, McKeesport, which is just up the Monongahela River from Pittsburgh. It's one of those towns that just got obliterated when manufacturing began to move away from Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan. His hometown, he feels like, looks like a town that was defeated in a war. So he carries that emotion of a lot of people from that part of the world on his back as he enters the CIA. There's an anger in him that's part of what leads him into his troubles. But I found he's a Trump voter, I should say, in the beginning of the book. He's a guy who, with that anger coming from Steel Town in Pennsylvania, feels like he wants the kind of change that Trump is proposing. It's not a political novel, but that's just a detail about his character. If people have read Hillbilly Elegy, wonderful book by J.D. Vance, this character has a little bit of that that anger, that sense of being from a place that's dispossessed.
The book has been released recently, I understand.
It was published last week, and happy to say it's had some good reviews and had a chance to talk about it with people like you.
Excellent. Excellent. Are you working on something else? I don't know how you could, but are you?
You know, the answer is, of course I am. I do two columns a week. I'm working on a column I'll write today about defense issues. But I'm beginning to think about a new novel. This next one would be my 12th. And I told my wife recently, you know, an even dozen sounds like about it. It's a pleasure for me, Ron. I think that's the thing I'd say to you. It's fun to write these books.
Yeah. You know, you're only two books short of a library.
Well, or at least a shelf.
At least a shelf. A big shelf. I enjoy you watching you on television with your commentary and the charts, which kind of break the cycle of mistrust because they show the facts. And I do appreciate what you do with that.
Well, that's show Morning Joe. People enjoy my friend Steve Ratner, who I grew up with, is Mr. Chart. But I'm right there with him. And we're trying to make sense of a world that's pretty hard to understand.
Yes, increasingly every day. And okay, all right. The book is called The Paladin. Search for it, you'll find it. Is there a website?
So I have a davidignatius.com website that you can go to. You can buy the book there. You can buy the book from online from any of your local bookstores who are trying so hard to stay afloat. I hope, I'm sure you got some really good bookstores for your listeners. And you know, that's like our whole economy. We're wanting bookstores to make it through this. A lot of them, I fear, are going to shut down. So it's a good time to check out your independent bookstore online.
It is. But I think when this is all said and done, people are going to swarm stores more than they ever have before. I think it's going
to be... That's such a nice thought. Yeah. I mean, I can't wait for the moment where we all get out and you know, get back to these public places. I think we're going to enjoy life a lot for a while after this ends. Nice thought.
There's no question. Yeah, well, getting out of the house and saying, all right, enough with ordering online. I've done that, been there. Let's get out and let's start moving and experiencing. I think it's going to happen.
I'm with you.
David, thank you so much. We'll feature the link to your website on our show. And thank you again. Good talking to you and a pleasure and continued success.
Yeah, me too. Thank you, Ron.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that'll do it for me today. Thank you so much for dropping by and bringing that casserole. I appreciate that. That'll last me for a couple of dinners. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Will you come over and bring another casserole? Very cool. Have yourselves a wonderful day. Wear a mask. I'm not kidding. It could save everything. Wear the freaking mask, please. And I wish you peace. Okay? Go now. You can go now. Let the kids come back in the room, but just for a little while.